Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to Solo Spotlight. I'm your host, Ryan McDougall. This is a show where we sit down one-on-one with people who are building something real. Today's guest, Vintage Soul, an independent artist out of Edmonton whose music leans heavy into storytelling and real-life themes. And what stood out to me isn't just the sound, it's the perspective. His bio and his interviews frame his music around local struggles and resilience, as well as the newer work feels like a person actively tracking his own growth. But here's the other side people miss. He's not only an artist. He's also helped build River City Radio, a platform created to connect and amplify Edmonton's music scene with broadcasts, filmed interviews, Q&As, and playlist promotion. We're going to talk about the music and the mission behind it. If you're new here, hit subscribe, drop a comment with your favorite moment of this episode. Clips and full conversations are always rolling out weekly on Spare Bedroom Studios. With that, let's get into it. Vintage Soul on Solo Spotlight.
Welcome to Spare Bedroom Studios, where big sounds are born in small rooms.
Welcome to Solo Spotlight, everybody. I'm here with a guest that I've been enjoying a lot of his music lately. Vintage Soul, how you doing?
I'm doing wonderful. How about yourself?
Great, man. Yeah, I'm excited to be here. I've been listening to your music all day. I really enjoy just getting immersed, and I'm glad to have this conversation with someone that you've lived in Edmonton your whole life, right?
Yeah, born and raised.
Born and raised in Edmonton, making amazing music. I'm excited to have you on, talk about your journey, how things are going. I want to start off by just asking some startup questions. For people that aren't like familiar with your music, how do you what are your ways of like introducing yourself to people that like aren't familiar with you?
I guess ways of introducing myself, I probably would show somebody my Spotify, my Instagram, just kind of let them know I make more of a conscious minded, more, I guess, old school leaning, self-aware, very versatile music. Mm-hmm. It can swing from, I guess, I've done like deep rap to boom bap to more new age. Even tried some punk recently.
Yeah,
it's coming out soon. But yeah, honestly, anyone who's like into that conscious stuff, definitely.
Yeah, it's I find like doing this type of rap, it's just as hard on like the like it's like a journey for the listeners, just as it's like a journey for you to put it out, right? Like some things like people can just like riff off stuff, right?
And,
like,
oh, definitely.
It doesn't like matter that much. And then you have like something like this where it takes a little bit more of like looking back and having some like, you know, emotional kind of going through it.
Of course. Yeah. More along the lines of like kind of figuring myself out. And I guess the more I progress with that, I get more deeper with each song. But yeah, definitely conscious and self-aware.
And when you're making this music, like what's the desired feeling that you have that you kind of like want like listeners to come away with?
Honestly, I want people to kind of take a hard look at their life, you know, and maybe relate to some of the lyrics I'm saying. I speak on issues about the city, homelessness, as well as issues with my past family and whatnot. But yeah, I don't know. It's just, I speak about a lot. I tend to go from topic to topic, and Yeah, I don't really know where I'm going with this.
Yeah, no problem, man. No problem. And, like, when you look at where you are in, like, the era of as an artist, like, what chapter do you think you're in right now?
Honestly, I think I'm on that chapter where I'm kind of realizing my self-worth. I'm realizing I do have potential. I feel like a lot of artists kind of got to get out their self-doubt. Yeah. And 100%. Honestly, I'm kind of, you know, getting to that point where I listen to my own music and I want to replay it, you know?
Yeah.
I want to invest more time in creating more. And I feel like I wasn't as invested or as stressed about the quality of my music until, you know, I started focusing on that. When I started kind of being very picky, I noticed...
Ralph. He's a nightmare sometimes. It's like hit or miss, coin flip on whether or not he wants to behave.
But where was I?
Yeah, about being like critical on yourself.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, honestly... I feel like I used to be more critical, or I got to a point where I was becoming more critical, and now I'm more critical about the right things. I used to care about, I guess, let's say, how cool it would sound or stuff like that, and now I care about the meaningfulness of it, a message I'm trying to convey. And yeah, honestly, I can listen to my music all day, like, you know, and I think that's what any artist would want to say.
Do you find that, like, held you back from putting out music sometimes? Like, almost, like, over-obsessing about it?
Sometimes, yeah. There's been multiple times, if you talk to my producer, Seriously Taylor, he'll tell you, we've done, like, 5 masters on songs before I was, like... Yeah, like, I want more. And he's like, my computer's crashing out, dude. Like, I can't do anything else with this.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I don't know. I just learned to start accepting kind of more what I'm capable of sounding like, getting more comfortable with my voice and my message. And
right.
Yeah.
And 2025, it's been like a good, like, consistent year for you in terms of, like, you've been putting out tracks, like, good pace. What do you think, like, you did this year that you haven't done? Like, what changed in terms of, like, getting tracks out? Is there anything that you kind of started doing this year?
I don't know, actually. I'd say this year I was getting more into the scene, more into the community.
Mm-hmm.
I was doing shows in Calgary, here in Edmonton, even did one in St. Albert. Mm-hmm. You know, but more just investing myself in the scene, I feel like, has motivated me to make more meaningful tracks, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
I don't feel like I made more tracks than before. But honestly, like, I think that it comes with the quality, right?
Yeah.
You can kind of cut down. But yeah, I'm more obsessed about the meaningfulness, the message, and if there's something.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner. So you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
I don't really like how it's conveying. I'm very picky with it. So.
Right. No, that's interesting, because I think, especially if you're telling, like, very, like, personal, like, thoughtful stuff, like, you kind of have to make sure that it resonates properly.
Of course.
And, like, it's, again, like, you want to sound authentic, and I think like, especially when you look at making, like, this type of music,
mm-hmm.
it's not only just, like, the lyrics itself, it's like, what type of mood am I in? Like, what's the headspace I'm going in? And those mm-hmm. are for further questions later down the line. But I want to kind of, like, bring it back to the start. So you were born in Edmonton.
Mm-hmm.
Like, where in Edmonton did you grow up?
All around. Like, I was born in the Grey Nuns Hospital in Millwoods. I lived in Northside, like, Montrose area, Belvedere area. Went from there to St. Albert for time being.
Mm-hmm.
From St. Albert, I moved down to 118th Ave for a little bit, and then...
So you've been around.
Oh, yeah. And then downtown for the past, like, 5 years.
So how did this like environment kind of shape like you as an artist, or like you getting in, like what were some early influences that you had when it comes to music and kind of recognizing this is something you want to do?
I don't know. I think at an early age, I was always obsessed with music. It kind of always resonated with me. But the funny thing was, I wasn't allowed technology as a kid, right? Yeah. So I had no way to experience, you know, music.
Right.
So I used to listen to the radio all the time. And yeah, one time I got an MP3 player from a friend of mine.
Right.
And my brother, you know, me and him were hiding these MP3 players from my mom.
Yeah.
This dog, it just wants all my attention.
Yeah.
But yeah, I remember we were recording tracks on the radio.
Yeah.
Because we couldn't, we didn't have access to a laptop, you know? And so I'm sitting there listening to the radio and just recording songs, and didn't have anywhere to plug in a USB, you know, to stop the recording. So I would just swipe my finger across the USB and I would, you know, listen to that nonstop. Later down in the years, I remember I got into hip hop, and I remember the first songs. This was when I actually had a laptop or access to one at school, and I downloaded what was it, "Running and Dying" by Tupac and Biggie, and "My Name Is" by Eminem. Mm-hmm. Those were the first two songs I remember, and my mom found them so quickly. And her way of trying to punish me was trying to make me rap "My Name Is" in front of her. Or no, sorry, "The Real Slim Shady" it was, in front of her.
Yeah.
So I was trying to go for it, and then every time a swear would come up,
you know,
she's kind of looking at me.
Just waiting
and,
for it.
Oh yeah, and so she took my MP3 player away from me. So it was a bad influence on me. And I think that same summer, I got sent to my grandma's down south side of Mill Woods. At this time, my mother was living in St. Albert. And spent some time at the skate park there. And there was this guy named Prince Alonzo, this artist. And he came there shooting a music video with all his friends and whatnot. And I was just this little kid spray painting stuff in the skate park. And he comes up to me. He's like, "Yo, can you spray paint my name?" And I was like, "Sure." He's like, "If you want to be in a music video." I was like, "Of course."
Yeah.
And so, yeah, it's still out there. It's called "Patience" by Prince Alonzo, if you ever want to check it.
Yeah,
the kid with the orange shirt, spray paint, that's me.
That's sick.
But, yeah, I feel like those were my early influences, kind of, just getting into hip-hop, you know, kind of feeling like almost like a rebellious way about it with my parents, you know, always trying to hide it from them.
Right.
And then just seeing that it was capable in my own city with that, with Prince Alonzo. And so, yeah, it was a lot of influences, yeah.
Kind of saw that there was like someone that's figuring it out. So then it was like, oh, okay, like if this guy can do it, like there is a way.
Exactly. At that point I was just a skateboard kid practically.
Yeah.
So
yeah, that's interesting. So where did it start for you in terms of like the creation? Was it more on like the lyric side? Was it more on like the production side? Like how did you like start to gain that experience, and like what really like stuck with you?
It was definitely I started more with poetry. I kind of was writing poems. I think it was in grade 8, and I think there was something in class, a class project, and we had to learn like stanzas and different types of poetry, right? And I was really good at it, you know. I just I loved it, and so I started doing extra work on my own at home. And yeah, years later, like I wrote a song before this, but you know, my parents found it, didn't like it, threw it away. But years later, you know, I'm on my own when I'm like 16, and I'm just hanging out with a bunch of guys outside of McNally High School, and you know, and they're all kind of freestyling and whatnot, and I decided to spit one of my poems over the beat, and they're like, "Oh, yo, that sounds so sick," and you know. And so I was like, maybe I should start doing this, you know? So from there, I started writing more in high school, and I recorded my first track in the basement of my father's house. Crazy story, but might get into that one later. but anyways, it was horrible. I burned it on a CD, I remember. Gave it to the girl I was seeing at the time, you know? Gave it to my friends and all that, and we used to bump it, and from there, I just never really continued until I was 18. So I had like a good 2-year gap. And then that's when I ran into a new group of friends that had their own studio in their basements and their own startup record label and whatnot. And I was like, I tried doing it again, and they were all hyping me up, and they kind of just helped me get along with making right. music and dropping it.
Do you think that was an important part, like having people around you to kind of like push you in the right direction, or kind of tell you, like at the start was like, is this okay? Like, are you just being nice to me?
Yeah.
Like, you know, how did that work for you?
Honestly, yeah, I feel like just my own, the confidence of it, you know, like my poetry was deep as it was. It was personal. And to find that other people would think it was cool, you know, or would think it's sick that I'm, you know, saying this, that I'm capable of saying it in the way I'm saying it. So just, I guess that was my drive to continue. And right. to seeing how it affected other people. I remember like rapping to people and some people would shed tears, just be like, yo, that hit me. And in return, that hit me in a way where I wanted to continue, you know, just right. trying to do this and influence people in a way. So, yeah.
Right. Was there something that you like learned as a kid that most people like didn't learn early on? Did that like affect how you make, because you're still pretty young, and like listening to your music, it's like it's very remarkable to hear someone like I'm only 31, I'm still pretty young, but
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got, from plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Not a lot of people have like this, like they have like, they talk to themselves, or they have like this self-talk, and it, you know, this idea of like you're trying to kind of create these like memoirs through music is kind of how I see it. But that comes with like turmoil or something, like, and lessons learned, right?
Oh, yes.
So like, what do you think were like early things on that kind of like pushed you into, especially if someone told you early on, like, yeah, this shit's ass.
Yeah.
It's like, like a lot of people would be like,
of course.
Yo, I'm not doing this.
Fair. I guess early influences that kind of stem to the deepness of my lyrics or the self-awareness of my music would definitely, I would have to bring you guys back to the childhood, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, honestly, I was always used to being independent, you know, in a way. I grew up, I had two brothers. I had my mom and whatnot, but the problem was my mother was dismissive, right? Didn't spend a lot of time with us. My brothers, you know, we were locked in different rooms, so I was always kind of on my own, kind of processing thoughts early on as a kid. Then came the time when I was 16, ran out of the house, all that, you know, didn't want to deal with neglect and whatnot. And I was basically on my own, first with my aunts, kind of got kicked out of there, went with my dad first time in 10 years.
Just like couch surfing type thing.
And then started couch surfing with friends after my dad got arrested. So it was a lot of, I guess, trials and tribulations and just pushing through and learning my own life lessons of what it takes to survive, right?
Right.
And, I've been through a lot and, you know, I've experienced a lot and, yeah, it really stems into my lyrics, you know.
Was your friend group, like, receptive to, like, the things going on in your life? Like, were they, like, understanding, or did they kind of come from different walks of life?
That's the thing. A lot of people I know came from different walks of life. If I ever, you know, people didn't want to hear a lot of my things going on in life. Almost made them feel uncomfortable.
Yeah, because they're like, I'm doing this to get away from my own shit.
Yeah,
man.
Yeah, exactly. And that's the thing with me too, right? Like, I didn't tend to like talking about it a lot to my friends, you know.
Yeah.
I liked just finding a distraction and just chilling out, whatever. Honestly, I think people just, I don't know, it's kind of weird. People don't really resonate with what I have to say, but they resonate with my lyrics, I guess. It's weird.
And I think too, like a lot of people, they digest music different when they're in a group and alone.
Oh,
right?
Yes.
Like
definitely I'm not like a group of friends. You don't want to listen to my music with a group of friends.
It's and more, not like, yeah. But some of the songs though, like well, don't get me wrong, but I think it's the idea of like people just change. Like people mm-hmm. are like chameleons, right? Like they, the way that they actually want to think and talk mm-hmm. is nowhere near how they like present themselves in public, right?
Fair enough.
So yeah. Then it's like, oh, something that they don't want to hear now. It's like, it's probably like festering deep inside of them. Mm-hmm. They're just not like ready. They're just not there yet.
Yeah, fair enough. And that's what I'm kind of used to. Like face it, I'm 22. People my age, you know, they're a lot of them are still living in their parents' bedrooms, mm-hmm. you know, or basements, and you know they haven't really sought out the world for themselves. And when they try to understand me or convey in a conversation on my level, it's kind of difficult for me to, I guess, stay in that conversation.
Mm. Do you find you get like dismissed a lot?
I start dismissing them more,
right?
Because it'll come in a way like people will start explaining things and complain about certain things, and I'll be like, what are you, like 16?
Yeah. Like I'll give you an example. Yeah. Like I'll give you an example. Someone approached me the other day and they mm-hmm. were like, hey, you do like the little talk show thing.
Yeah.
And I almost wanted to like,
yeah,
like I was like, what the fuck? Like, because you're just like, how do you start a conversation? Like,
of
and
course,
you can already tell by like the tone of like,
oh, yeah,
you ain't shit. Like, you ain't get shit. You're never going to be shit. Like,
oh, yeah.
And it's this idea of like, people don't really want to like prop you up.
Of course.
Especially in like a younger age group too, mm-hmm. where depending on who you get, like who you hang around with, like everybody's mm-hmm. ambitious, but like the more people you talk to, the more you try to like extend your reach.
Well, this is the thing. My generation is very envious, and I know that like, that's just the thing. Like everyone around me, if you're trying to promote your music to them, you know, they're like, oh, why are you sending me this? Blah, blah, blah. What do you mean? You're my friend. You're supposed to listen to this. Like,
exactly.
You're supposed to support me.
Yeah.
Then you got the same guys, you know, sending you, you know, their businesses and whatnot. And you're like, hey, why don't you support mine?
Yeah. It's like, and do you find it's like a thing of like, say if someone did like contracting, mm-hmm. it's more like tangible of a thing of like, oh, more people like societally accept this.
Yes.
So like it's all right for me to say,
yeah.
Yo, like, why don't you promote my painting company or whatever it is? Like, why? Because then people see it as like, oh, if I were to share it, it's mm-hmm. I'm portraying now that like if this guy thinks it's corny, now like I'm corny for like putting you on.
Mm-hmm.
Where it's like, that's where people get it like twisted, right? Where it's like, it's not about necessarily like what you're doing. It's the way like you conduct yourself and the way, you know, are you being like clickbaity? It's like, mm-hmm. okay, well that's, it's not about making music. It like, if you took who you are and put it into a different business, mm-hmm. you would probably thrive.
Yeah.
This is just the shit that you chose.
Yeah.
Right? But some people, they don't get it, right?
Especially, you know, being in Edmonton, right? Like, this is a blue collar city where most people grow up like with dreams and aspirations to work in oil and gas. So mm-hmm. it's kind of like, oh, a musician in this city? No way. That's absurd, right?
Well, so. And too, like when you're coming up, like it's probably hard too to like have like tangible evidence.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I'm sure like some of your earlier tracks, it was probably just as hard for you to share as it was for, because you're still working on your own shit, right?
Of course.
And then having someone like, but now that you're kind of coming into your own and you have like mm-hmm. this identity, it's a lot easier because like, correct me if I'm wrong, but like you're probably getting like more prouder of like the stuff that you're creating over time.
Yes.
Because it's like, it comes with more lessons, it comes mm-hmm. with more skill, it comes with more experience, right?
Of course, yeah. And the experience is a big thing too. I feel like over the time I've been more capable of expressing what I want to express and the ways I want to express it. And before, yeah, maybe songs were quicker, but I would go from topic to topic, you know? Mm-hmm. And now I'm trying to convey the same messages throughout a track, and yeah, no, I'm getting really good at being able to express myself more. So, yeah.
Right. And for someone that doesn't know what it's like to make music, what, like, when you're coming up, how are you deciding, like, do I make mixtapes? Do I do EPs? Do I do singles? Do I try to go for an album? And like, where does that come? Like, where is like the roadmap for an early on artist to start like checking those boxes of like, oh, maybe when do I start doing collabs? Like, how many tracks should I have?
Yeah. Well, honestly, for an artist just going in, I wouldn't suggest just collabing with a bunch of people. Honestly, you want to create your own image and you want to figure out your music yourself, your own sound. Another suggestion I'd have for any new artist would be kind of don't jump into an EP, don't jump into an album straight away. Just kind of release singles, you know, and kind of see where it brings you. If you want to release an album, kind of whatever, do it. But, you know, try to create your own sound and figure yourself out first in those early stages.
Is it less like commitment as well of like you, it's more like obtainable? Like, because if you bite off something too big, you'll just never end up finishing it.
Well, that's the big thing. Honestly, I don't know. I've bitten off things huge. And, you know, I think it's more my determination where I'm like, yeah, I'm going to get this done either way. But
yeah, 100%.
But yeah, no, a big thing for artists as well is those early years are very lonely, right?
Right.
You got to have a lot of alone time and self awareness, I guess, that time to just kind of meditate and figure out who you are and kind of reminisce on your past and your experiences and try to put that onto paper. And honestly, another thing too, I just want to bring this up, a thing I noticed when I was starting music, right? I was able to formulate my opinions, my beliefs, all that onto something, you know, that's there. And I was able to kind of start seeing who to avoid in my life, and I realized I was surrounded by people I hated all along.
Yeah, 100%.
And it took a lot of self-awareness and just, you know, that self-discovery of writing lyrics and reminiscing and whatnot. So
yeah, it's especially as like something like you're creating out of thin air, you kind of you become very like protective over it, or you come like almost like guarded because it's like, yo, like this just came out of thin air.
Of course, yeah, yeah.
But when you look at how you've evolved as an artist, what are like areas that you had to like step up your game in a way, in terms of when did you start to put like a professional like edge on it, where it's like a lot of people like they have like the term like SoundCloud rappers, right? Like, when does it go from that? And like, what are the components? Is it like a financial investment? Is it like a linking up with producers? Is it a learning on your own? Where, like, take me through that of like, when do you start to like sound like you're making music?
Honestly, it was when I switched producers. Originally, I was making music in the basement with a bunch of these guys, and they were all partying and doing a bunch of drugs and, you know, doing a lot of other unspeakable stuff I can't really say.
Sure.
But, yeah, no, I had to get away from that. And that's, I kind of cleaned up my life, tried to get sober and all that. And, yeah, once I changed my producer, he was a producer, Seriously Taylor, at Up in Arms Studios. And he was already doing work with Absol and Mercules and Kripal and... Right. And kind of seeing how all those artists were moving, I was like, I need to take this more serious. Like, what am I doing? And so that's when I dropped a Dirt City Outcast EP back in 2023, the summer. And yeah, planned it all out. Went and did a cover shoot by the Walterdale Bridge. Just covered myself in mud and wearing this cheap suit from Marshalls. And yeah, just called it Dirt City Outcast, you know? But right. From there is when I started conveying my lyrics more seriously. I kind of strayed away from trying to flex and, you know, kind of sound obnoxious. So yeah, I wanted to be more meaningful. And yeah, I'd say around 2023 is when I started thinking like I should take this seriously.
Is it hard to create like music or ideas that like accurately reflect like who you are, and like when you see it get like overdone, is that like almost like a meta in a way where you look at like, oh, if I don't like have like a drill song, then like I haven't, like, you know.
Definitely in the early years it was like that. No, I don't care.
No, right. Yeah. Yeah. And when you're making music, like, do you have any guardrails of like, okay, like, mm-hmm. I'm not going to touch on this, or I'm not going to touch on this, or is it kind of just what pops into your mind?
Definitely. Well, yeah, of course there's guardrails. Like, I don't want to say anything self-incriminating.
Yeah,
that's for starts.
Yeah.
But yeah, there's also some things about my past, you know, I haven't been ready to open up about. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I guess I wouldn't think, I can't even think of a way to express it in a song, mm-hmm. without, you know, somebody being like, whoa, like, you know. And so
are a lot of lyrics you just haven't found like the right beats for?
I wouldn't say the beats. Like, I can write over any beats and just make something similar over the same BPM. Usually ask my producer Taylor to do it. Mm-hmm. And yeah, it doesn't really matter about the beats, I'd say. It's more just about the mindset I'm in. I guess what stage I'm at in life and what I'm comfortable with saying in this moment, mm-hmm. you know? But yeah, there's some very deep things I just haven't touched on, and I might not for a while, mm-hmm. but, who knows, one day I might just, stop caring and yeah. drop it all.
And how do you balance that as like an art, like someone who's like striving to continue to get better, mm-hmm. and then also dealing with like the realities of life? Because a lot of times yeah. you talk about that, like on one of your songs you're talking about like I have dreams to make go on all these trips, but I have to afford it first.
Yeah.
So it's like this level of like you kind of know where mm-hmm. you're sitting at.
Oh,
you
yeah.
know where you want to be.
Exactly.
But like you know, there's also realities like rent has to be paid, I have mm-hmm. to do this, I have to do that. So like, where does that balance fit with you?
Yeah, honestly, that's a big thing in life. Almost feel like music is almost slowed down in the moment for me too. It's been a financial thing, right? Music mm-hmm. is so expensive to make, and as well as like, if I want to go do shows in other cities, you know, I gotta afford the hotels, the travel, all that, so the accommodations. It would be brutal. And so honestly, I feel like at this point in my life, I'm just more doing what I love. Like, mm-hmm. I love making music. I love expressing myself, and I love that people enjoy it.
Do you have experience like applying for grants or anything?
So not exactly. Kind of through government care and whatnot, yes, but that's more for my personal care and
yeah,
schooling.
Of course.
But yeah, no, I looked into a music grants. Went to go apply for one once, but I missed the deadline. But right. yeah, no, I really got to get into that, not gonna lie.
Yeah, well, it's the same with school, right?
Yeah.
Like, a lot of people, you're almost like leaving money on the table, mm-hmm. and you're just not putting your name in the hat.
Exactly.
And like, even when we look at like our production setup, there's so many like opportunities that we could have done to reach out. That's my fiance. Thank God she take the dog. But yeah, like it's almost like just missed opportunities, right? Mm-hmm. It's something that, from talking to different artists and interviewing them and having conversations, mm-hmm. you can definitely tell that that's like an underutilized,
yeah.
like misunderstood thing of like, oh, I have to be this or I have to be that. It's
of
like
you
can literally throw it on the wall and see what sticks and just apply. I think the
opportunities come.
Yeah.
Like, craziest opportunities have come my way. I, you know, haven't been able to fulfill them. But
right.
I've had an opportunity to go perform in L.A. You know?
Right.
Of course, the fires happened.
Right.
And couldn't go. Didn't even have my passport, so whatever. Mm-hmm. Didn't tell him that. And then, you know, I've had artists like Davies Management, you know, hit me up. Of course, it's more of trying to get money out of me. But imagine if I actually had that money, right? Mm. So it's, I feel like the thing is, artists don't have to push, I guess, or like try to chase things. If they're focusing on themselves, those things will kind of come to you.
And you know? And where's like the state? Like, I always wonder, because like I always like contrast it with like making podcasts and doing interviews and stuff, mm-hmm. of like, at some point you have like this threshold of like, okay, I'm doing it, and now I can kind of push to make money.
Of course. Yeah.
So like, and where does that money come? Like, for us it's ads,
uh-huh.
right? Like, for us it's ads and ads reads and like trying to like get with like beer sponsors or whoever, right? And we're always trying to do that. But
yeah.
as an artist, like, Is that live performances? Is that collabs? Like, and where does it get to a point where you're like, oh, I can like sustain this, or like I can do this for whatever, right? Or is it just like you just get lump sums of like, oh, it's a few hundred bucks there, I go on. Like, where do you eventually hit the point where it's like someone goes like, okay, do you want to go on like a 10 show tour?
So I got to the point where I was self-sustainable off my music alone. I was just going to school and hosting events. And honestly, that's the thing. I thought in the first point it was going to last forever. You know, I was going to always have sustainable income. And slowly, it kind of died down, I noticed. I went from getting $1,400, you know, to $1,200, then $1,000, then $800. Then I'd be lucky to get near 1,000 at all, you know? And so it was, it got absurd, but I feel like, I don't even know where I really went wrong with it, honestly, but I feel like it just kind of died out. And
Well, it's probably way harder to get on stage now. After like COVID and everything.
Of course.
It's probably increasingly difficult. And I feel sometimes it depends on who like you're communicating with and what kind of relationship you have, because like people just get like suckered all the time where it's like, oh, you like didn't really like say what I wanted to hear, so now I just ain't gonna call you.
Fair enough. It's been like that too, like with, let's say, me trying to get money out of a feature. There will be artists that are just starting out and ask me to, you know, make a song with them, and I'm like, okay, well, as long as you can pay me, you know, and just at least cover my studio time, we'll be good. And I've never had anyone pay me for a feature. So honestly, I think it's more of a shock when new artists come in and other artists kind of get charged by a local. They kind of expect.
Or they've been doing it for free for, or doing it with no money for so long. They're like, oh, this is when it starts to actually get real. Like, this is when it, not necessarily get real, but like, this is when there's like actual implications of like, yo, my time ain't free. And like, I'm actually trying to like do business here and not just like. But again, like, I think, do you think like there's a creative balance with that?
Yes.
Of like doing favors for people or getting on tracks with guys you want to put on. Well, and then at the other sense of it, you're like, I am trying to like sustain myself as an artist.
Well, that's the thing. I've noticed the people that just don't respect that part of the process are tend to be the 3-month artists. You know, those artists that come around, drop a couple tracks, and then disappear off the face of the earth, trying to get a quick feature out of somebody and whatnot. And but honestly, it's
You find people, a lot of people get in over their head.
Yeah, definitely do. People come in and they think it's all just, oh, I'm a say what's up, bro, and you know, and shake hands and, you know, and just get a free feature out of you, and you're going to go waste your time at your homie studio and, you know, pay him $500 to get you a song. And yeah, it's just, it's absurd.
Do you have an experience that you've kind of had yourself that like changed that kind of thought process for you? Like, did you ever go into something naive and then be like, oh shit, I feel stupid?
I definitely, I guess in my early years, you know, I used to expect, let's say when I was homeless, right? I used to expect just my friends to just allow me to their place, you know, just because they're my friends.
Right.
Of course, you know, they don't want some kid living in their house.
Yeah, 100%.
But yeah, no, I used to be very naive and just expect everything in the world to be given to me almost. But yeah, it took a lot of trials and tribulations to find out that everything is worked for. But,
It is interesting too, because like a lot of people have these like sayings where if you're trying to build like the most like durable person, you're not going to give them everything at the start. Like, they're going to have to go through some speed bumps, they're going to have to like go through some like fuck arounds, right? And like, as much as it sucks at the time, it kind of builds you to be a better, like a better human being long term, because it's like you're just so ahead of the game in terms of like mentality, where like character and integrity. Like, I had one good friend that I volunteered with, and he said, like, do you know what character is? Like, character is doing like the right thing when no one's looking.
Of course.
Right? And I think that's a big thing when like we talk about like how you're trying to make music and you know what you're trying to build, right? Because it all comes down with like the right attention, right? Mm-hmm. But it is like it is very difficult because like do you ever get into like the like victim blame mode where you're like, fuck, why me, man? Of like course. Always like
I think
it always gotta be me.
Well, yeah, honestly, with the shit that's happened in my life, my head kind of tends to go there a lot. I'll be like, shit, man, just why again?
Yeah,
you know. But honestly, something that's has held me throughout, you know, two things actually. One is tough times don't last, tough people do.
Yeah.
And the second one is, you know, God gives his toughest battles to his strongest soldiers. So, yeah. Yeah.
100%. Hey, yeah. And it's mindset, right? Like a lot of people, they attribute it to like, oh, like I have a lot of friends where they go like, I don't lose.
Mm-hmm.
Like some things happen and I learn from it,
yeah.
But I never lose.
Fair enough.
Like I never take the L.
I mean, that's a great,
you know,
viewpoint
like,
on that.
it's one of that mentality of like, I'm not going to be a sucker. Like,
that
and I'm not
going
to turn around and like let myself be that person. Like, you know your worth, you know who you are, you know what you were built on. So it's like, I know that this is an experience that I might need to have.
Of
but
course.
In terms of losing,
mm-hmm.
I don't lose, right?
Fair.
So it's... But it's interesting, right? Because I think especially someone with like, you know, the type of childhood you went through and like the history that you have, like it can get very difficult to like accept those things or even just accept that you still have to like continue to work for shit where you're like, listen, like I've been waiting to like get my turn to like succeed and I still gotta like put up with something where it's almost like, man, does this ever fucking end?
Yeah.
Like, does this ever fucking end?
Yeah, honestly, I feel that. I think that's just life, you know. Some people were put into this world to, you know, face challenges and hardships to try to, you know, it's for a reason, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I think my reason would be to try to convey my message onto others and, you know, do good in this world in that way.
Do people ever call you like an old soul?
Yeah, yes, and that's how I got my name, Vintage Soul.
Vintage Soul.
Yeah. And so all my homies that I was originally recording in the basement there with, they were all calling me. They were saying, oh, yeah, I got an old soul, and I was just an old school guy and whatnot. And when I started making music, it was boom bap. And so, yeah, they were kind of like, oh, yeah, this is Vintage. And I'm like, that's it. My
name is
Vintage Soul.
There you go.
So it just stuck since.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When you look at that and you look at, like introspectiveness or, like, mindset, do you think that it, do you think that it almost like wears on people, like in a way, like it's, do you find like you get caught up in it a lot of like, oh fuck man, like I'm just always thinking about shit or like I'm always trying new shit and like, do you ever want to look back and be like, man, I wish I was just like my buddy who was just doing shit and, you know, chopping it up.
Honestly, no. I look at my life and I look at everyone else from my past, and honestly, as shitty as my life has been, it's been the most exciting than anyone I've known. So I can't complain. I like my life. I like where it took me, and as hard as it's been, I'm grateful for it. So.
Do you have like a... At the like the stage you are now, like, what do you think like your most proudest moment would be of like something you built?
Honestly, like, you know, just I'd say Northwab Media or River City Radio was pretty cool. Just making something out of nothing that was bigger than myself, you know,
right.
And coming from a kid, you know, that was, you know, sleeping on benches and on a carpet floor with a sheet over me, you know, like that was a lot. Realizing, you know, like, all of a sudden I was self-sustaining myself, I was buying suits, I'm hosting events, you know, and it was pretty sweet. Honestly, yeah, that's the biggest thing I'm proudest of in my whole life, I'd say, was the capability of what I built off River City Radio and all the people that I was able to bring in on that movement and be a part of it and honestly, I feel like Edmonton's music scene is better because of River City Radio. It's more unified now, right? So.
How did you come into that as an up-and-coming artist? Mm-hmm. When did you realize there was like a need for it?
So one of two things happened. One, I'm looking around for a local radio station that would play hip-hop, like local hip-hop. The ones that did, like, they would kind of play one or two artists, and I don't know, I just never thought I would be accepted onto that. And so I was kind of going around, and I remember this one guy named Bobby Everything running Crockpot Cartel on YouTube, and he was doing this whole thing, and he came from addiction and whatnot, and he was preaching how, oh, look what I made, you know, and all this. He's like, you can do anything you put your mind to, and the biggest advice to anyone I got is create something bigger than you. And that's when it clicked, and I was like, I'm going to create a radio station, like a platform for the city of Edmonton. And yeah, once I did that, I made an Instagram, I hit up every single artist, and just, I remember I spent months just researching and just getting everybody I could. And yeah, I started on YouTube and slowly built it up from there. And yeah,
that's interesting. Mm-hmm. What was the process like for that? Do you find that there was things that you kind of enhanced, that kind of enhanced you as an artist, like learning that idea, like what, how did that kind of contrast in a way? Because I feel like mm-hmm. those are totally two different like mechanics of like where you find success.
Of course. Honestly, River City Radio was built in a time where I also decided to clean up my life. I decided to move away from a lot of people around me and the old people I made music with. Mm-hmm. And yeah, honestly, River City Radio was a big... Oh, fuck. I lost my thought. Sorry, can you repeat the question?
No, just like how did you... like, did this enhance you as an artist? Did yes. it take away from your like creative yes. ability?
So where I was going with that was, yeah... Once I created River City Radio and moved past the people I was kind of stuck around and whatnot, I realized the skill in this city and I guess the capabilities of other artists. I realized the city had a whole ton of artists that were just unrecognized and not connected in any way, shape, or form. And I guess just listening to all these submissions from local artists and realizing, I guess, their skills and their mindsets and their ways of, I guess, conveying messages, it really made me rethink of what I was doing with my music. And I had to, that's when I, you know, kind of did that EP with Dream Chasing and called Dirt City Outcast. And yeah, I feel like that was a big shift for me. It was during that time in my life, yeah.
Yeah. That's interesting. I find it really interesting because like now you're kind of spinning two plates, right? Mm-hmm. You're kind of doing one thing and it's very difficult to not see one get taken away by the other.
Of course.
Right? In terms of time. But I kind of want to talk, now that we kind of went through your story and everything, mm-hmm. I kind of want to talk about like how you get started with this creative process. Mm-hmm. When you're looking at, especially now that you've done like the radio station and you're building this community, what is your approach to like creating music? Where do mm-hmm. you start?
Honestly, it's kind of weird. Like I'll be kind of looking around in my city. Maybe I'll be going for a walk or I'll be kind of stuck in my thoughts and just thinking about something. And yeah, I'll be like, hey, I think I really want to convey this into a message, you know? Like if I'm kind of having some self-awareness, like what are those moments called? Epiphanies.
Right.
When I have an epiphany, then I really want to put that epiphany down on paper somehow, you know?
Right.
And I feel like that's where it starts, is my epiphanies. A big thing that continues it is just, you know, I'll scroll through beats on BeatStars, whatever, on YouTube, SoundCloud.
Right.
And if something just really hits, you know, I'll write my music to that. I may not record it over it, but I definitely write it to it. And I'll sit there. Let's say my best moments for creativity would be like in the middle of the night alone, lights off, nothing around me but my screen and, you know, maybe I don't know. So I got my speaker playing music and yeah, it's very, I guess, to myself.
Right.
You know? Yeah.
And is there anything that you, when you're in this creative process, like I call them like non-negotiables, like is there one staple that like you always need to have, or like I always do this, like I always write it, or I always like, is there anything that you could think of that almost is like, I never put out a track without doing this first?
I can't really think of anything at the moment. Yeah.
Like, do you have a final polish?
Not really. I wouldn't say that. Honestly, I just stick to my promotion. I try to promote the song at least once, you know, as crappy as once is. But hey, at least I try to.
Right.
But yeah, I wouldn't say there's like a routine or a tradition or something I have to do every song. But yeah, no, nothing that comes to mind.
Cool. Talk to me about the song Elevate.
Yes.
I really enjoy the song. I enjoy the beat over it. Talk to me about like the story behind the song.
So honestly, Elevate was kind of, you know, I don't have the best, let's say I got good friends, but they don't have the best choices, you know, and they're kind of following their own demise, and they kind of take everything for granted and whatnot. And so I decided, and I was like, how am I going to convey to them, you know, that their fears and whatnot are so minimal, and what they need to focus on in life is sitting right there in front of them. And Elevate was more of an expression of myself alongside that. Mm-hmm. But yeah, no, I felt like I conveyed a message in a way where I was able to guide possibly some of my friends who were kind of stuck in their own, you know, mindset at the time, and make them realize there's more to life, you know, they gotta get to it. So.
Do you ever have conversations with yourself where you worry, like,
all the time,
where you almost worry like, oh, am I being like a false prophet here?
Not at all.
No, because like sometimes when I talk to people, my biggest, like, I always worry like, am I like almost like patronizing them, or like acting in a way of like, because in reality, like I always kind of go into things of like, I'm just trying to be the dumbest person in here, and that's how I'm gonna succeed. I can be like the idiot in like a group of people, like that's my best way to like feed off of people. But sometimes I talk to people and I like catch myself almost like how would I say it, like almost like preaching. Do you ever feel like that's like something that you have to like, you know, have like a threshold with?
Yeah, honestly, the things I preach about to people, I feel like they may be insensitive sometimes, kind of due to my own, you know, past and what I've experienced with.
Mm-hmm.
Like there's a lot of issues, you know, some people may talk to me about, and you know, it's just natural for me in my own past to think, you know, it's kind of petty, or, you know.
Yeah, kinda, it's like lacking the empathy of like, exactly. Yo, I've been through way worse.
Yeah, exactly. And yeah, I don't know. It's just, I do experience it. It does come. I do have to kind of try to stop myself preaching to others sometimes. But I feel like there's so many things to preach about now. I've gotten used to it, you know, and it's almost every time I check in on a homie and checking on their well-being or how good they're doing and trying to give them some advice to guide them through their shit. But,
do you ever find like something like that, or even that type of like the way, because I feel like a lot of people are scared, right? Like a lot of people are scared to check their own demons. Mm-hmm. Do you ever worry when like this like type of conversation happens that you almost like hold yourself back from certain business interactions because people are like, yeah, man, we ain't trying to do that shit. And, like, cause sometimes I worry about it, where like I come off like very like crass or insensitive. And I always have to like say to myself, oh, like is the way that I'm behaving, like, and as long as I'm okay with it, then it is what it is. Right.
Yeah.
But like, it's not the behavior itself, whether or not it's good or bad or whatever, but like, do you ever have like the forward thinking to be like, yeah, this might harm me, over here, but like, I'm fine with it. I'm okay doing my thing.
Yeah. Yeah, I would definitely say, I've noticed that more in my advocacy routes. I've noticed, there's certain things, I can't really, you know, preach, mm. You know, people are very, sensitive when it comes to advocacy and, certain things that I've lived through my life and I have my own opinions about, but, you know, people don't really understand it, so
it's hard to meet people in the middle.
Yeah, it is really hard
because you're like, we grew up in two different universes.
Exactly. Right? It's kind of hard discussing with somebody who's in advocacy. Let's say there's two peers in advocacy discussing the same issue. You got one who grew up in a suburban household, you know, and whatnot,
and one that grew up in a broken household.
Yeah, maybe, you know, just hated her parents, yeah, you know, whatnot, ran away, and then you know, just kind of made their own life, right?
Right.
And then comes me, you know, coming in, and I'm like,
and you're like, that ain't
that's,
shit.
That's obnoxious, you yeah. know. Like, yeah. I don't want to deal with this. So, yeah, no, I do have those the problem of meeting people in the middle, I'd say, and just kind of seeing their half of things.
Yeah, know? Yeah, it is interesting because mm-hmm. like it's realistic mm-hmm. to have that, but it's always like the forethought to be like, okay, knowing where the stakes are. Would I change my behavior? Like, knowing oh, yes. that I, like, this would possibly close this door, would I, like, and that's something that I think people, like, well, yeah. juggle with all the time of, like, I could tell this person to fuck off, but now he's not gonna do this with me, or, yeah. like.
Fair enough. Yeah, no, I've had those experiences, like, people taking my support for granted, kind of taking my idolization for granted,
and
yeah, my kindness for weakness, and trying to take advantage of me, and, you know, kind of get the most out of me from giving me nothing in return.
Mm-hmm.
But in those moments, those same people had, you know, I guess, let's say, ties into my life where if I were to cut them off due to disrespect, my life would have worsened,
right? You know?
And so, yeah, no, there are those moments, but.
And that's a challenge because you have to end up biting your tongue in certain situations.
Well, I kind of got sick of biting my tongue. So right. recently, every time it's just kind of, I'm out of the situation. I'm going right. to paint my own path.
You know? Right.
But yeah, I don't know.
Well, and I think the more experiences you see like that, mm-hmm. the better you are at having like those interactions where you're like, all right, I've seen this coming. Okay, perfect. Yeah. Like, and
you see the pattern as
yeah
it comes,
and then yeah. you just kind of know like, okay, like I'm gonna stay away from this person or this or that.
Yeah, I've, but I met this person in another set of eyes. Yeah,
yeah, exactly. And then you're just like, okay, cool. But you learn from it, right? When you look at like your role to the community mm-hmm. with like a radio station, mm-hmm. where would you say like your role is? Would you say it's like a mentorship thing? Like, is it strictly business? Is it like, how would you see that, especially to new artists mm-hmm. like coming up in the area? Like, how would you like to be viewed of like what your role is with that?
I feel like my role for River City Radio, now known as North Wab Media, would be more of a networking platform, right? I don't mind if people utilize it for other ways, but most importantly, I want it to be a way to network, to connect Edmonton and Western Canada onto one platform, have artists working with each other that have never known each other, and yeah, I feel like, yeah, it's definitely more of a networking thing.
Right.
Yeah.
And when you look at your journey as a whole, like, where do you define success? Like, how do you define that for yourself?
Honestly, success is success can be measured in so many ways. Honestly, like I was doing my events and all that, and feeling like I was top on the world, you know. And I'm like, yeah, I'm so successful and all this. And then, you know, I did a Youth Day MC event, you know, for the International Youth Day, and at Norquest, and you know, I felt successful in that moment. I was like, oh, I'm MCing this, you know. And talked to members of parliament advocating for bills, felt successful in that moment. But honestly, success is not much. Success is coming past your hardships and just not giving up, you know.
Mm-hmm.
If you're here today, you know, and another day on earth. Consider yourself successful, you know. Mm-hmm. You're pushing through, you're here, right. Still here. And so honestly, it doesn't take a lot for me to feel successful. All I have to really think about is what I came from and where I'm at now, right?
Yeah, it's an easy sell to be like, you know, I like, based on the cards you were dealt, you were almost like guaranteed never to be in the position you're at now.
Exactly.
So yeah. It's like, statistically speaking, like, you're doing well.
Yeah, right? Exactly.
What's next for you? You have the rebrand with the radio. What do you have coming up with that, and what do you have coming up with your music?
For sure. So River City Radio is about to be, or was rebranded already, to Northwab Media. It's about to be relaunched. Plan to do a show here in February. The headliner hasn't been confirmed yet, but I want to get on the road in 2026, getting my shows every month again. Music-wise, I just recorded 4 tracks that are about to drop within the next 2 months. We got CPTSD, which is a punk rock track, kind of touching base on my addiction with, marijuana, you know, liquor and whatnot. But as well as kind of touching base on, I have moved past, you know, hard drugs and whatnot, right? It's more of a growth, but realizing I'm still struggling, you know, and kind of touching base on that. And then I have Crash Out, which is a super funny, self-expressive song about myself. Honestly, I might just drop that one next year in like 2 weeks, but we'll see.
Yeah.
And then we got, what was it? Forgot the names. We got, just blanking on me right now. But anywho, we got 4 tracks coming. I got more in the works. I got about 6 projects open, pending, just writing. Just hoping to get that on the go. I got a Mocha only show in February. Got a show in Calgary at the end of January there, and just plan to be consistent this year. Try to expand my horizons, my networks, and hopefully perform outside of Alberta this year. Or 2026.
And where can people find you to continue following your music, following your journey?
So they can find me on Instagram, vintage.soul.music. You can find me on Spotify, Apple, SoundCloud, YouTube, any platform music-wise. Even got a Snapchat. You can find Northwab Media. Post on there daily. I got my Facebook. Yeah, I got it all. So
got it all. You're
social
everywhere.
Media, yeah, you'll find me.
That's right. Yeah, man. Amazing conversation. Thanks for coming out today.
Of course.
This was a great opportunity for the people listening to your music and the fans of you to kind of get a little bit of, like, through the looking glass and kind of sharing a little bit of your story and your journey to where you're at now.
Of
and I'm,
course.
Yeah. I'm excited to see your growth and what you have coming up in the future. I can't wait to have you on in the new year and see how all these shows are going, all the music's turning out. So awesome, man.
I appreciate
thank
it.
You very much for the conversation.
Thank you for inviting me, inviting me to your studio here. This is amazing setup you got here, and I like what you're doing, so just keep it up, you know.
Thanks.
Got good things coming, you know, and I'll definitely shout you out to all my friends, and
awesome,
you'll have
man.
Many more artists coming your way.
That's right, man. With that concludes another episode of Solo Spotlight. Don't forget to subscribe to Spare Bedroom Studios. We do episodes, clips every day, episodes every week. You can find us on Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, YouTube, under Spare Bedroom Studios. I'm your host, Ryan McDougall, and we will see you next week.